Many people are always complaining about the lack of quality sleep. While there are many factors that contribute to the lack of sleep, we look at this particular issue this afternoon. Joining us on the line, we have Dr. Feryal Dajan, who is a doctor of complementary natural medicine, Unani Tib, who joins us on the line. Dr. Feryal, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. How are you doing today?
Very well, and yourself?
Alhamdulillah, I'm fine, shukri.
We appreciate you taking the time to chat to us. Recently, there was articles that surfaced talking about too much sleep versus too little sleep. How does one evaluate the correct amount of sleep?
This is a difficult question, really, because the amount of sleep that one needs varies from person to person. You know, if you think of a baby sleeps for most of his or her life, compared to an adult where we have more wake hours than hours of sleep. You know, so from my perspective as Unani, so we look at the different temperaments and we can see that from temperament to temperament, we need a different amount of sleep. So the average sanguine person, for instance, would need from 6 to 8 hours of sleep. But then we look at the bilious temperament person, for instance, which would be from 5 to 6 hours. Now, I'm assuming that our listeners today are familiar with the temperament. But this is only but one example how the amount of sleep really varies from person to person.
A lot of people complain about waking up tired in the morning. Is that a sign that something is not right?
Well, there's a number of things I've answered to that. One of the reasons why people often wake up sleeping tired at night could often be related to something what we call sleep apnea. In other cases where the patient or the person maybe doesn't even have any type of disturbance, it also sometimes matters how many sleep cycles you have. And so when we talk about the sleep cycle, we're looking at one sleep cycle is approximately 90 minutes, and it can sometimes go up to about 110 minutes. But sometimes what happens, Mufti, is that when you wake up and you wake up in the middle of the sleep or in a really deep sleep, it can be that your sleep itself is actually broken. So the little tip that I often share with people that I speak to with and so on, I often tell them when you set your alarm, instead of setting your alarm for the time that you need to wake up, calculate the approximate amount of hours or sleep cycles that you would need. And that can also help to actually wake up feeling a little bit more refreshed in the morning.
How important is it to have a particular routine? Is that something that is recommended, that perhaps a person sleeps every day at 9 p.m. or 10 p.m. or 10:30, and to maintain that?
Well, this is a different thing because, you know, in recent times there's quite a bit of talk about sleep debt as well, you know. I mean, the whole thing about whether sleep debt is a myth or not, that's a whole new conversation on its own, you know. But having a routine definitely does help. For some people, it's actually imperative that they do have a routine. For others, it's more imperative for us to be really connected to ourselves and see how means how much sleep we need. But the routine definitely does help, yes.
Is there a link between excessive sleep or less sleep and stress?
Oh, definitely so. You know, so many people would actually say that they are having sleepless nights because they have too much sleep. I would say too much sleep. But on the other hand, again, you often find that there are people who have so much of sleep and they sleep asleep, and they actually use sleep as a way of comfort, a way to avoid the stress, but also just because their body as a system needs to sleep in order to recuperate from the amount of stress that we're keeping under. You know, so very often when we're working with people who are under severe times of stress or chronic stress or so, we would look at what it is really, what is the patient at the time really showing up with. Are they having too little sleep? Are they having too much sleep? And we will give the guidelines accordingly, inshallah. But one of the good things that we normally advise for people to do before they go and sleep is to actually practice a little sleep ritual. We call it sleep hygiene. But really, sleep hygiene, it's really allowing the person to go into sleep as opposed to going through the day completely rush, and then just before you reach, you need to go into sleep, go into sleep. And as I go back again with sleep to a baby, you know, when you have a baby, you normally feed the baby, you birth the baby, depending on how old the baby is, maybe let the baby play around for a little while. Go and bath, rub the baby out, and then you put the baby to sleep. And what I normally tell my clients and so on, I normally say that, you know, when you have a baby, you don't even allow the baby to just go and sleep as is. You sometimes to even go and lie down with the baby. So there's this whole ritual that one does in order to put the baby to sleep. However, us as adults, we think that it is okay for us to go through life as we do and just automatically expect our minds to switch off at the time of us of sleep.
We spoke about, you know, the impact that stress has on sleep disorders. What are some of the other things that cause sleep disorders?
Well, when you look at sleep disorders itself, are you talking about sleeplessness? I think I could assume as sleeplessness. One of the reasons, you know, and I think as Muslims, we have such a beautiful example, really, alhamdulillah. You know, as Muslims, you're also advised to do certain things before we go and sleep. So, for instance, one of the things would, if we are able to go and sleep in wudu. The other thing would also be doing sunnah du'as before we go and sleep. And then also one of the most one of the most advised things from the Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is also to evaluate one's day before we go and sleep. And just earlier today, actually, I had a client that was complaining about this because she says that, you know, she really doesn't think of herself as having a lot of sleep, but she struggles to sleep at night. And I said, you know what, for a week to 2 weeks, go home, do what you need to do, and before you go and sleep, take account of your day by actually journaling for 10 to 15 minutes shortly before you go and sleep. And this I found to be quite a good thing to help many people over the time, alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah, there's so much more that we need to discuss, and we look forward to having you on in the future to take the discussion further. Dr. Ferial, we appreciate your time. Jazakumullah khair for chatting to us and enlightening our listeners. It's really fascinating how you join the two, the sunnah, as well as looking at it from the medical point of view. And we really look forward to chatting to you again in the future, inshallah.
Inshallah. Jazakumullah khair to you.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah.
That was Dr. Ferial Dejon, who is a medical practitioner, Unani Tib, looking at sleep disorders in particular. How many hours does a person really need to sleep? And as she outlined, that it differs from person to person. It's really fascinating how Allah has made the human body, our needs for the human body, in tune with what is expected from us in terms of our sunnah practices that the Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had outlined. And you know, when you follow the sunnah practice, you have those moments where you make your wudu, you have the reflection, and all of this sets the right tone for sleep. You wake up refreshed after that. May Allah give us the understanding.